let's take our Bibles this morning, if you would please, and get ready to preach it. And let's open up the 27th chapter today of the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 27 today. We're going to begin reading in verse 36. We'll end our reading. We're going to begin reading verse 26, and we'll end our reading in verse 36. And we will read that verse together today. We're certainly glad that you're here. We hope you have a Bible. If you're here today, don't know the Lord, we hope you'll listen close.
Yes.
If you're here today, you do know the Lord, you've been saved, we hope you'll listen close.
Yes.
Amen.
Verse 26, we'll begin reading and read through verse 36, and we'll read that verse together when we come to it. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus unto the common hall, and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him, and put on him a scarlet robe. And when he had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spat upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear the cross. And when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. We'll read verse 36 together. And sitting down, they washed him there. Thank you. Be seated, our Father. We do come today, and we, Lord, we realize today that we tread upon holy ground.
Yes.
Lord, it's when Moses went to the burning bush, and Lord, you said, "Take your shoes off, because you're on holy ground."
Yes.
We realize today, Lord, that when we come near the cross, that, Lord, we come near the ground that's holy there. And we ask that, Lord, today that, Lord, you bring us neath the shadow of the cross today during this service and help us gaze, Lord, upon the one that was upon the cross. You're not there now and you'll never be there again, but you were there that day. And may we gaze upon God today. And I pray, the Lord, through the preaching of the cross, Lord, that somebody today might believe, be saved.
Amen.
Jesus, keep us near the cross.
Yeah.
Lord, I pray, and we'll thank you today for what you're able to do through this marred vessel of clay that you have worked with. We pray you'll use us today in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Amen and amen. I would like to start this morning a long series. I suppose that there would at least be 26 messages in it. But I would like to start a long series. I do not know that how long it will take me to finish it. I do not know if I'll even continue it next week or not. But I do know that I will continue it as the Lord allows me to. And I want to start preaching today on the A's, A to Z of Calvary. Or the A to Z of the cross. Now, We need to hear about the cross.
Amen.
And to be quite honest with you, we don't hear as much about the cross as we used to.
Amen, Brother Rick.
But it was at the cross where we first saw the light.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
And it was at the cross where our Savior died, that you and I that are saved might be saved.
Yeah.
And those of you that are not saved, that you can still get saved.
Amen. Amen.
Now, we need to be reminded about the cross, because we have a tendency as human beings where our mind fails us, and we have so much going on that sometimes even going to church, we go and sing and pray and have teaching and Bible reading, And sometimes we leave and we haven't even really thought about the cross.
You're right.
So when we preach about it, it reminds us. Reminds us of what the Lord did for us.
That's right, brother.
And then not only that, but we know that the preaching of the cross brings results. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 1 in verse 21, it said that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe.
Amen.
He said the preaching of the cross is to them that believe. He said the power of God unto salvation. That not only that, the cross, for every child of God, the cross is the reference point.
That's right.
The reference point. In 1954, there was a landmark decision made by the Supreme Court in a case that said the Supreme Court versus Topeka, Kansas. And in that Supreme Court decision against the Board of Education, it forever ended segregation in the public schools. Did that stop all the racism? Did that stop all the feelings? No. No, it didn't. But then in 1865, the 13th Amendment abolished slavery forever. Did that stop the mistreatment of people? Absolutely not. And then in 1964, the Civil Rights Act was passed, and it gave equal opportunity to all people. Did that stop racism? No, sir, it didn't.
You,
you say, why'd you bring that up? Because that even though it didn't stop at any time that there is anything connected with any of those things, they go back to those three reference points to decide what's going on.
Right.
You see, the cross is the reference point for every child of God.
Amen.
Whenever anything goes on in our life, we always have to go back to the cross. The cross is the hub of Christianity.
Amen.
All the other spokes of things that evolved from the cross, they all issue back to the cross. And so that's why it is so important that you and I never lose sight of the reference point of the cross. Never lose sight of where it all started at for us.
Right.
Never lose sight of why that we can live today for the Lord. And even though we struggle as children of God, that when we fail because of the cross, we can go back there and God has forgiveness for us.
Amen.
And we can get forgiveness and go on for God because of the cross.
Amen.
Now, I want us to look this morning, and I want to preach a few minutes on the actions of the cross, the actions that took place at Calvary. God has laid these out here in the Bible, and I never noticed until this week how they're laid out here. But in these 10 verses, God has laid them out here of the actions that took place that day at Calvary. We start out here in verse 26, and the Bible tells us they scourged Jesus. Now, you might want to underline that word scourge if you don't mind marking in your Bible. And I won't go into all the details, but the scourging of Jesus, just reading that word, does not really let us see what all happened at that point when they had Jesus there.
Right.
Jesus was tried three times. He was tried by the Sanhedrin. He was tried by Pilate. He was tried by Herod three times. In a mock court, they tried the Lord. We'll find out that when they scourged him, they would take the prisoner. They would take him in, and they had people that had trained in how to scourge a man and how to bring a man almost to the point of death, yet not to kill him.
Right.
And they would take what they called the cat o' nine tails, and it had pieces of bones and different things tied in the end of that. And they would take the prisoner, they would take the thief, and they had a man that could just knew exactly how far he could go without killing that man, to bring him as close to death as he could without killing him. Josephus, who was not a Christian, but he was a historian of that time, Josephus says that on that day, that after they scourged Jesus, by the time they got through with him, that you could literally see his inwards in different places of his body. You could see the bowels. You could see the kidneys. You could see what the Lord had really went through. And
And so they would take him in and they would scourge him. Now this is before we actually get into our reading. They would scourge him 39 stripes, save one. Brother Walt Ziegler used to say 39 save one, and I'm one that got saved.
Yeah. Praise Amen.
But they would scourge the Lord and give 39 stripes. Isaiah said they plowed his back. Isaiah said, so when he got through with the scourging, they brought him into the soldiers there. And the Bible said, verse 28, they brought him in there and they stripped him. You might underline that word strip if you underline in your Bible. But the Bible said they took all the clothes off of Jesus. Three times they changed the clothes of Jesus during the course of those three trials. No doubt one of the reasons they changed them at this point was because of the scourging and already the blood and that which would be upon the clothes. So they brought him in and they stripped him, the Bible said. The soldier would strip him of his clothing. They would take every speck of clothes off of him. And so there he stood. Now, you know, you and I, we're so sinful. We're so tainted by sin. We have this old Adamic nature. But even us that has any ounce of humility and morality left, we don't like to be made naked before anyone. We don't like that. And yet here was the Lord. Now He's holy, holy, holy.
Yeah.
Here was the Lord. He has not one ounce of sin in His body. Nobody could convince Him of sin. And so here was perfect holiness stripped down. To absolutely nakedness. You said, what'd that do? Well, no doubt that shamed the Lord. The Bible says over in Hebrews 12, the Bible talks about running that race that is set before us and looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. But He despised the shame. So don't think it didn't bother the Lord. It was a shameful thing for the Lord to have that happen. And then we see, no doubt, the devil here. We see him all through these verses here. We see the devil at work. Did you know that wherever the devil shows up, the clothes come off?
Yeah, right. Amen.
Did you ever notice that?
Yeah. Right.
You find in Mark 5 that that demoniac man,
yes.
The Bible said, is naked.
Yes,
yes sir.
Yep.
You find the more people are into sin and the things of sin, most generally the less clothes that they wear, usually.
Yes.
The devil is for that. And we're not ignorant of his devices. We know what's going on. We know who's behind that. It's the devil. Amen. Then we see here the sovereignty of God. You say, why is that? Because a long time before they ever took them clothes off of Jesus. In Psalms 22, the Bible says in verse 18, this is a long time before Calvary. He says they parted my garments. Well, before they could ever part his garments, they had to take them off of him. Amen. And so, a long time ago, it had already been written that this is going to happen to the Lord.
Amen.
Then we see here in verse 29, the Bible says there, and when they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, a reed in his right hand, they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. You might mock that word saying there. We're talking about the actions of Calvary. They stripped the Lord, the Bible says. They spoke about the Lord. They spoke against the Lord. Jesus is interested in what you and I have to say about Him.
Amen.
Did you know that? He's interested in what you got to say about Him.
Yeah. Amen.
He talks over there in Malachi about the Lord wrote a book of remembrance.
That's right.
Of those that often spake of the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
He listens to what we say about Him.
Yes.
When one of His disciples came back after being out, he said, what are they saying about me out there?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he said, well, some say you're Jeremiah.
Right.
Some say you're Isaiah the prophet. He said, well, I want to know what you say about me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
He said, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven.
Amen.
You see, the Lord's interested in what people say about him.
Amen.
And here they are, wicked men, they're upon Calvary, and they have some things to say about the Lord. They're ridiculing the Lord.
Yeah.
The Bible said they mocked him. Of course, they put a purple robe on him. They put a crown of thorns upon his head. They smote him over the head. And now they're saying, Hail, King of the Jews. It's mockery. They're mocking the Lord.
Right.
Did you know that whatever Satan's around, you know one thing Satan does and he causes men to do is he causes them to mock the Lord.
Right.
Yes, amen. Right. I remember when I was being called to preach and I worked out there at the factory, and we had the phones in the booth up here, and then we had phones back where we worked because it was so loud you couldn't hear each other, and so you'd call on that phone. I remember several times that day some of the men would call, and I'd go answer the phone. They'd say, yeah, this is God, and I'm calling you to preach. And that was mockery, you see. That was ridicule. Well, they ridicule the Lord.
Yes.
And whenever somebody mocks you and ridicules you, you're in good company. Amen.
Amen.
Because that's what they did to the Lord. And I tell you, if you stand for the Lord and live for the Lord, you're going to be made fun of. You're going to be mocked as a child of God. You're going to be mocked. And then we know this is the devil. We know it's the devil. You say, why? Because that's what the devil does. The devil mocks a child of God.
Yeah. Amen.
The devil mocks the church. The devil mocks the Bible. That's what he does. But then notice the request that came there in verse 39. It said, come down from the cross.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Come down from the cross. Well, that's the devil.
Yeah.
Right. You know why? Because if he had got him to come down from the cross, you and I could have never got up out of hell. Thank God he didn't come down. Amen. He was stripped for you. He was stripped for me. Now think about this. He was stripped for you. He was stripped for me. Can I not serve him? He was stripped from me. Is it asking too much for me to be faithful to the things of God? When the Son of God was stripped from me, he was stripped from me. Is it asking too much for me to put clothes on for him? I tell you, thank God, oh, how he loved us. Amen.
Amen.
And they spoke against him. They spoke against the Lord. You say, what did they say? Well, they mocked him, said, Hail, King of the Jews. They said, if you're really, really the Christ, come down from the cross. You see what the devil's trying to do? He's trying to get him to come down from the cross.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
He's trying to stop him all the way there.
Right.
You read the gospel accounts and you'll find numerous times where they tried to kill him. They tried to stop him. They tried to hinder him from going to the cross.
Right.
Oh, but thank God. He had his face set like a
flame.
Oh, thank God that he could not be stopped. He went all the way to Calvary. Thank God that you and I might be able to go all the way to heaven. Praise the Lord. And I know it was the devil. You say, why? Notice the repeat. He says there in verse 40, he said, if thou be the Son of God. Seems like I've heard that before. Where did I hear that? At the very beginning of his ministry, after he was baptized and led out into the wilderness to be tempted, the very first words the devil spoke to him is, if you are the Son of God. I tell you, my friend, the old devil will speak against him. He'll tell you he's not God's son. He'll tell you he's not who he said he was. He'll tell you he's not able to save you. But he's a liar.
Amen.
The devil's a liar. I'm glad the Bible tells us that he's a liar and the father of it. And we're not ignorant of his devices today. Don't listen to the devil. He'll tell you you can't get saved today. He'll tell you you can't live for God. He'll tell you Jesus ain't real. He'll tell you Jesus ain't coming back again. But the devil is a liar.
Amen.
They spoke against him.
Amen.
They spoke against him. Then notice verse 30. The Bible said that they spat upon him. You might want to underline that word spat. They spit on him. Spitting in someone's face is a universal sign. A universal sign of anger, hatred, disrespect, and contempt. When they spit in the face of the Lord, when they spit in the face of our lovely Lord, the Bible says that they were saying, "I hate you, I despise you, I have contempt for you." That's what the Lord did. Hey, if they spoke against the Lord, and he was humble as a little lamb, they reviled against him, but he reviled not back. If they spoke against the Lord, you and I, if he could stand there silent for me,
yeah.
If he could stand there and take that stripping for me, I ought to be able, my friend, to say something for him.
Amen.
Ought to be able to say something for my Lord. If you're ashamed of him in this evil and adulterous generation, the Bible said he'll be ashamed of you. Have you really been a friend to him? Have you spoken to somebody about him? Well, he was silent for us. We ought to be willing to speak up and stand up for him.
Amen.
God.
They spit on him.
God bless.
It's a universal sign of anger and hatred, contempt. I'm sure there's people in this room that have either been spat upon, or maybe as a child that you spit on somebody. It's one of the worst gestures that anyone could ever do.
Yeah.
Yet the Lord did that.
Yeah.
You say, what? Yes, the Lord. Yeah. The Bible tells us that there were at least three miracles that the Lord performed of a blind man, and the Bible said he spat in that blind man's eyes. John 9, there was a blind man, and it said he got dirt up and he spit in that dirt.
Right.
The Bible said in John 9.
Right.
Three times the Lord, it was a deaf man, and the Lord went, and the Bible said he spat, and he took that spittle, and it seems like he touched the ears of the man. You say, was the Lord, was he angry? Was he have hatred? Did he have disrespect? Was he doing it for contempt? Oh no, the Lord is the exception to that rule.
Yes.
Right.
You say, well, why did the Lord do that? Well, because the Lord knew they was going to spit upon him. Now there's two or three thoughts here, and they're both pretty good. One of the thoughts is that when he spit upon that blind man, when he spit upon that deaf person, that the Lord was spitting upon the disease, showing what he thought about the disease. I like the other one better. If it says that what the Lord was doing is the Lord was saying, when you get healed, when your eyes get open, when your ears get open, he said they'll get open because that the Son of Man is going to go to Calvary. He's going to be crucified and fall into the hands of the Gentiles, and they're going to spit upon him. And he was saying that your healing's going to come because I'm going to the cross. I'm going to be in the hands of sinful men, and they're going to spit upon me. Thank God. Listen, I've not been healed from cancer. I've not been healed from some major disease. I have diabetes now. I've not been healed from it. But I'll tell you what, I have been healed. I'm one of the worst diseases that a man could have. I've been healed of terminal sin. That would condemn me to an eternal hell. And thank God, it was because of the cross and because of what he suffered. That thank God that I can stand here today and know that I'll never go to hell because he went to the cross for me. Thank God. I tell you, listen, he went to that man there in Bethesda, Mark 8, and the Bible said he touched that man, and he said, "Can you see?" And he said, "I see men like trees."
Right, right.
I have a book in my office that gives some meaning to that verse. If you go to Israel, Jack's been there. If you go to Israel, it's not uncommon to see men with a whole brush pile on their back. And say, well, they'd be carrying that brush. Just like we load it on a trailer or a truck. I have a picture of it in my office of a man with a whole brush pile on his back. Yeah. When that man looked up, he probably saw somebody like that. And he said, I see men as trees. I can't see real clear. The Bible said the Lord touched him again.
Yeah.
He sped upon him.
Yeah.
Now here's the best explanation I've ever heard. Of all, and the two I've told, this third one is the best of all. He sped, and the man's eyes were open.
Yeah.
Now here's what that's saying. Whatever comes out of his mouth will open your eyes.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. The word came out of his mouth, and his eyes got open. I'm glad, thank God. You know, when we really read this over in Isaiah 50, Isaiah gives us a little more on it there. I believe it's over in Isaiah 50.
Yeah.
And watch this here in verse 6. Isaiah 50 in verse 6. We know it's talking about the Lord, because when you read the verses before that and the verses after that, they couldn't apply to anybody else but the Lord.
Right.
And Isaiah, the prophetic spirit of God, is speaking through Isaiah, looking down through the telescope of time. And he says, I gave my back to the sliders and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair, and I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Now that puts a plural on it. Now when you read this, they spit on the Lord when he was there before the Sanhedrin.
Boy, right.
They spit on him, they slapped him, they blindfolded him.
Right.
And said, now tell us who it was that slapped him. They spit on him in the Sanhedrin.
Yeah.
They spit on him. Different places he went, they spit on him. The indication is they spit so much in the face of our Lord that was literally running down his face. It was literally running down his beard. Oh, my goodness. No songwriter would ever capture it. No sermon will ever show it. No picture will ever display it, what our Lord went through. No passion play. No passion movie. No nothing will really ever captivate what our Lord went for us on that day. They spit upon our Lord. Amen. But he was not surprised.
Right.
He wasn't surprised.
Right.
Because in Mark 10:34, he said, they shall mock him and scourge and spit upon him.
Right.
But it'll show us it'll show us here the fact that they stripped him. They spake against him. Slapped him. Spit on him. It shows us the cruelty of humanity, the depths of sin. Amen.
Amen, Brother Rick.
Maybe as a young child, I've done this, I'm not proud of it. But as a young child playing with some other young boys, I've got something we've got something and we have tortured it. We've got something, we've jabbed at it or beat it or hit it or done something like that and got fun out of it. And the more that one did it, the more it caused others to do it. Amen?
Amen, yes.
What's one thing to do that to a dog or a cat or some other type of animal, but to do that to the Son of God?
Yeah.
Amen, brother.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 So they gathered around him here. One slaps him and then another. One spits on him and then another. One speaks against him and then another. Oh, what our Lord went through for us.
Amen.
Oh, the cruelty of humanity.
Thank you, Lord.
Did you know children can be cruel?
Oh, yes.
Right.
Yes, sir. They can mistreat each other.
Right.
Adults can be cruel.
Yes,
right.
We live in a very cruel world.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The more of sin and the more of Satan, the more cruel of the acts we see.
That's right.
Right. That's right.
But here is sin as it's high. Here's the Lord there before sinful man. Here's the Creator in the hands of the creature.
That's right.
Yeah.
Here's the Lord. They spit on him. If they spit on the Lord, and he stood there and took that for us.
Right.
That's why he did it.
Right.
That's right, brother.
Amen.
Right. He let all that go on because he loved us.
Right, right, brother. Amen.
Amen.
He's asking too much for us to love him.
Good preaching, brother.
To live for him.
That's good.
He gave it all.
Is it really asking too much for us to give a little portion of income back to the Lord? Is it really asking too much for us to give Him a little part of our life? He died for us more than we wouldn't live for Him.
Amen.
They spit on the cruelty of humanity. And the Bible says this, verse 33 and 35. It said, when they would come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say a place of a skull. You might want to underline that word skull. It said, and they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. When he had tasted thereof, he would not drink it. A place called Calvary. That word Calvary, the meaning of the word Calvary, it means a skull. The meaning of the word, there's three names for that place. Calvary, and Calvary is only mentioned one time in the Bible. It says when they come to the place called Calvary. God only wanted to mention that place one time.
Bless Him, Lord.
Because of what happened to His Son there.
That's right.
Golgotha is another name given to it, and that word Golgotha means the skull.
Right.
That's what it means. And then it's called, as it is here, it's called the place of a skull. Why is that? Well, one of the reasons, Brother Jack's been to Israel. You've been to Calvary, haven't you, Jack?
Yes.
You've been to that place, haven't you?
Yes, sir.
And they say one of the reasons is because the region and the way it's laid out and the way it looks at the formation of the rocks and the hill, that it resembles a skull.
Right.
The other reason is, no doubt, because it was a place of crucifixion. There were bones and dead bodies and things laying around there. It was a place of a skull. They brought the Lord there, and there they did three things. One, they gave Him a cup. I'm trying to preach this morning. I got water up here. You say, why my mouth gets dry?
Bless you, Lord.
You ever been real nervous? Your mouth gets dry. But our Lord wasn't nervous.
Right.
He wasn't trying to preach.
Right.
But His mouth dries. He says, I thirst.
Right.
They beat Him. They slapped Him. They spat upon Him. The Lord says, I thirst. And they gave Him vinegar mingled with gall.
Right.
And when He had tasted thereof, He refused it.
Amen.
And the reason He refused it is because that vinegar and gall, that it somehow it was used to deaden the pain a little bit. Now they didn't want these malefactors to die on the cross. They wanted to live as long as they could.
Right.
We'll see why in a minute. But when the Lord tasted that vinegar and that gall, He refused it. You say, why? Because He's suffering your hell and mine.
That's right.
Amen.
Because there on the cross, He's paying for all the sins of the world.
Amen.
The Lord doesn't want any help in doing it. The Lord's going to do it His own. He's going to suffer in His own body all the sins of the world. He's going to suffer all the pains of hell. And He's going to do that in 6 hours.
Yes. Amen, yes. Brother.
Amen.
Say, how did He do it? Well, I don't know. That's what Him and God.
Yes, right.
But He did it. The Lord was satisfied with you. He gave you the cup. He refused it. Now His Father gave Him one back in the garden a little hours before this.
Right. Yes.
He said, Father, He said, if at Thy will, let this cup pass from me.
Right.
If it's some other way, let this cup pass from me. But then He said, before He got the words out of His mouth, He said, not my will, but Thine be done.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Now that's telling me this, there is no other way.
Right. Amen.
That's right, Brother.
There was no other way. I don't think He didn't want to pay for our sins, because that was planned a long time ago.
Amen.
But I think what He was dreading was that time on the cross when His Father had to turn away from Him.
Right.
And for the first time in all eternity.
eternity, the relationship, the fellowship between him and his heavenly Father was going to be broken for a little while.
Amen.
Yes.
That's why that one time, he doesn't call him Father like he always did.
Right.
He calls him God.
Amen.
You say, why? He's paying the sin debt.
Yeah. Right.
God is not the father of sinners.
Right.
Now in the creational sense, God is everybody's father. But in the salvation sense, God is not the father of everybody.
Yes, right.
Only those that accept Christ are born into the family of God.
Amen.
He took my place there. He's willing to be separated from the Father that you and I might be in the family, thank God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
What a debt we owe.
Yes,
that's right.
Amen.
That's
right.
He done that for us.
Right.
Amen. Your mama did a lot for you. Your daddy did a lot for you if you had one as an account. Other people have done a lot of things for you. But nobody ever done for me what Jesus did.
Amen.
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 Nobody ever loved me like Jesus did.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. They gave him that cub. And then they started to crucify him. And the Bible said they crucified him. The crucifixion was a horrible means of death.
Right.
Horrible means of death. The electric chair would be one thing. Lethal injection would be one thing. But the crucifixion is a horrible death.
Right. Yeah.
That's why the Bible writer said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
It said, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but being found in the fashion of God, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Watch it.
Yeah.
Even the death of the cross. See, it's saying in so many words, it's one thing to die, it's one thing to be willing to die, but to be willing to die on a cross.
Yes, amen.
Yes.
One of the most horrible deaths anybody could ever die.
Right.
We know that Jesus gave himself.
Yes, amen.
Yeah.
Right.
We know they didn't take his life from him, he gave.
Yes, yes.
We know that they didn't have to force him and wrestle him down to the cross. I believe he laid down on the cross.
Yeah.
We know that, of course, Jesus was God, but he was man. He was a God-man.
Yeah.
And being a man, he got thirsty like we got thirsty.
Right.
Being a man, he got tired like we got tired.
Amen.
And being a man,
bless him, Lord.
It hurt a little bit of spikes.
That's right.
Yes. Amen.
It's like it hurt if we drove one in your hand today.
Yes. That's right. Right. Amen.
Yeah.
You say, did he jerk? That's probably so. When you drive a spike in a man's hand, the nerves that are in that hand, and really, they probably drove it about right here.
That's right.
And then they drove a spike in his feet, and there he is, no more tender place on the body.
Right.
And the feet. They drove that in the Lord's feet. They drove that in the Lord's hands.
Amen.
They crucified our Lord. But because that he was willing to be crucified, you and I ought to be willing to be sanctified, to be
Amen.
Set apart for our Lord.
Amen.
Because he was willing to suffer the death of the cross, you and I ought to be willing to suffer what little we have to go through down here.
Amen.
Wanting to bellyache, wanting to complain. We ought to throw our cross aside. We ought to be willing to carry our cross for the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, Brother Rick.
Yeah.
Now, remembering years ago, I heard just a story about a lady that died and went to heaven. And she got up there and she was dreaming and she got up there. And the Lord said, come on, I want to show you something. He took her back there. And she said, where are we going? And he said, we're going to the cross room. They went in the cross room and there were crosses of all sizes, huge crosses, gigantic crosses. And the lady had been complaining that her cross was too heavy. She'd been complaining, Lord, my cross is too heavy.
Probably why she had that dream. A lot of times what you think about before you go to sleep, you'll dream about it.
Yeah.
Right. She said, the Lord said, okay, if your cross is too heavy, he said, just look around the room here. You just find the one you want and we'll exchange it. And she looked around. There's big crosses everywhere. She come all around that huge room. She come down to a place and there was one little cross.
Yeah.
She said, Lord, I want that right there. He said, my child, that's the one you got.
Yeah.
That's the one you got.
Amen.
Amen. There's some people in this room. They have had some heavy crosses. I've been pastoring some of these people for 35 years. I know some of them have been through some heavy crosses. All my afflictions are light ones so far. But I want to tell you this. If he was willing to take that cross at Calvary,
bless you, brother Rick,
with all the sins of the world on it, with your sins and my sins, and he was willing to carry it all away and then die on it, you and I ought to be willing to get up daily and take our cross.
Amen.
Follow the Lord. Put up with what you got to put up with a little bit.
Yeah,
put up with those family members you got to put up with. Put up with those few problems you got to put up with. Maybe that's a cross that God gave you.
Amen.
Listen, if Christ was willing to take that cross and be crucified on it, you know what a cross was for? One thing. For somebody to die on it. You see the man going out of town with a cross, he's going to die.
Right. Yeah.
You know why God gives us crosses? So we'll die a little bit.
Yes.
So we'll deny ourselves a little bit. We'll die a little bit.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's why he gives us these crosses, that we might die a little bit, because the more of me that dies, yes, the more of him that can live through me.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Sheets always saying, it's a life you're living worth what Christ died for.
Yeah, think about it.
Quite a statement, isn't it?
Yeah.
You couldn't, Bob McCurry says it this way. Is Jesus getting what he paid for?
Right.
Amen, brother.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen,
man.
Is he getting what he paid for? He carried that cross for us.
Yeah.
We ought to be willing to carry our cross for him.
That's right.
Amen.
And then there was that casting of the lots there in last part of verse 35. He said, they parted my garments. Mm-hmm. And they cast lots. Boy, that shows men. Here's a man up on the cross dying, a perfect man, sinless man. He's up on the cross dying. They're playing games.
Yeah.
Right.
They're gambling.
Amen.
Yeah.
You see the human nature in that thing. They're down there gambling. They're concerned about getting his clothes. They don't care about him.
Right.
You know that pictures most of the world?
Yeah.
Yes.
They don't care about him. They just want what he can give them.
Yes. Right. Amen.
Amen.
Yep.
All they want from the Lord is what can he give us?
Right.
He gave us all.
Amen.
He gave us his life.
Amen, Brother Rick.
Right. You tell you something, helped me one time. A long time ago, I was preaching. Brother Nathan, sometimes a preacher preaches, and even he's the one preaching, Brother Sammy, but God will help you while you're preaching to others.
Yes, oh, yeah. Right. Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I was preaching up there in an old building a long time ago. We had never built on it the first time. I was preaching up there. But if God ever gives you something, Brother Rocky, if God ever gives you something with the anointing and the unction and the touch of God on it, if God ever speaks a word to you like apples of gold and pictures of silver, you'll never forget it.
Amen.
A preacher may preach for an hour, and I'm not going to today, so don't get nervous. A preacher may preach for an hour, and you may not remember one thing he said. But I'll tell you, every now and then, an old man of God will get to preaching.
Yeah.
And God will give him something just dripping with Holy Ghost anointing.
Amen.
God will give him some hot bread just right out of the oven of heaven.
Yeah.
God will give him something just bathed in the unction and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and it'll come through there and it'll burn right into your heart.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
And I was preaching that Sunday, been worried about something. Was the Lord going to give it to me? And I was preaching that Sunday out of Romans 8, Eddie.
Amen, brother.
And it says there in Romans 8, if God has freely given us His Son, if God has spared not His Son, if God gave us His Son, will He not freely give us all things? That's the Holy Ghost bumps up my back today. That's been 35 years ago.
Amen, brother.
See, here's what we do. If I'm trying to win Eddie, I'm going to start out giving him a little bit. And if I like him and he responds right, I'll give him more and I'll keep giving him more. That's human nature.
Right. Yeah.
But God started out with the very best.
Amen.
God started out with the best heaven had.
Amen.
And God said, I love you so much, I'm going to give you my best.
Amen.
And if God gave us His best, don't you think He's going to give us anything less than that?
That's right.
Oh, what a God.
Amen.
Amen.
He was willing to give me His best. Couldn't I give Him my best?
Right.
Couldn't I? Shouldn't I?
Yes. Amen.
They parted His garments, said, cast lots. And then let me say this, be done here in a minute. Look at verse 36 that we read together. And sitting down, they washed Him.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Sitting down, they washed Him there.
Right.
It shows a lack of sympathy. It shows the wickedness and the evilness of men.
That's right.
But here's three men dying. But one of them is a perfect man. He's never sinned.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
But they get through with the scourging. They get through with the spitting. They get through with speaking against Him. They get through of all these things. They put Him on the cross. The people, a lot of people on Calvary that day.
Yes.
The people just come there. They get down. They're just watching.
Yep. Yep.
Like a show.
Yep. Right.
They're just watching it. Entertainment. Entertainment. Calvary was not entertainment.
That's right.
Right.
Oh, the spectacle of Calvary. The Bible said, any sitting there, they watched Him. They watched Him.
Oh, amen.
They watched Him. That's what some folks are doing today.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
They're in their mind. Of course, we got so much today with the Hollywood and the movies and the Passion of Christ and the passion plays all over the country. We got so much today that, you know, it makes it rough on a preacher.
Yes, you're right.
Those people have seen so much.
Yep.
Yeah.
I want to tell you.
Yeah. Passion, Lord, bless
you. Mel Gibson. The best passion play you ever go to in Florida or down to Smokies.
Yes.
There's never been a passion play that shows the real passion.
Yes.
Right. Calvary.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right.
This thing's real. It's not a play.
Right. Amen, brother.
Amen.
This thing's real. It's not a movie.
Thank you, Lord.
This thing's real. That a man really did love sinners like us so much he was willing to come and to die on an old rugged cross and to suffer hell that you and I might be saved today by the grace of God.
Amen. Amen.
The spectacle of Calvary. There was a look from above.
Yeah.
You say, who's looking down? Isaiah said that he shall see the travail of his soul and he'll be satisfied. That's not talking about Jesus. That's talking about God looking down.
Yeah.
Right.
And seeing the travail of Christ upon the cross and it satisfied the justice of God.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, thank God.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Caleb and Amanda's here today. They got a new little baby. Little baby boy. I believe his name's Baker. And I guarantee you, before that baby's ever born, that Caleb and Amanda already loves him.
Yep, right.
Amen.
Yeah.
And then when he was born, they loved him. And you know, I've got two boys. Scott and Corey, they're both grown now. Some of you got boys. Can you imagine looking down and them spitting in your boy's face? Can you imagine them slapping your boy? You're standing right there watching. And you could do something about it. You could do something about it.
Bless him, Lord.
They're spitting on him. They're slapping him. They're plucking his beard out. They're saying things about him. They're ridiculing him. They're mocking him. And you're there. You could do something about it. You had the power to do something about it. That's the way God was.
Amen.
God's looking on. He didn't love his boy any less than I love mine.
Bless him, Lord.
He loved him more. God's looking on.
Amen.
That's his boy. He fellowship with him. That's his boy. Been with him through all eternity. God's looking on. You say, why didn't God do something? Because he loved me, my Savior died.
Yep.
On the cross was crucified. No greater love by mortal man
right.
has ever been known.
Amen.
He loved us, folks.
That's right.
Amen.
Lord, don't ever look at Calvary and charge the Lord with not loving you.
Amen.
Right.
He loved you. He loved me.
Amen, brother.
He loved you. God the Father's looking down. His feet, there's some all around him. You say, who are they? They're the angels. They're all looking over the banister of heaven. They're looking down there. They see that bloody Son of God hanging there gasping for breath. They see the spittle in his beard, the nakedness of his body. And they're looking over to Father. Why don't you do something? Why don't you do something? They're waiting for one word. They're waiting for his lips to move and say, come get me. And all heaven had come down, legions of angels, and pull him off the cross.
Amen.
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 Yeah.
He didn't do it. You say, why? Because he loved us.
No other word.
Amen.
You know, hell must be some kind of a God awful.
Yes.
Amen, Brother Rick.
Yep.
For a God to let his son go through that, hell must be some kind of a God awful place. For God to let his son go through all that so I could be saved.
Amen.
So you could be saved.
Amen.
And then the Bible said, set him there. Not only was he looking from above, but they're looking beneath.
Yeah.
And they're looking, oh yeah, somewhere in the crowd, there's Mary. Mary's somewhere. A mother never leave her son. She's probably as close as she can get. Her heart's, they told her when he was born, said a sword would go through your heart.
Yeah.
Mary's there. Maybe Mary Magdalene, he'd cast out devils. Might be a blind man there, wishing right now he was blind again.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't have to watch it.
Amen, Brother Rick.
But he, most of what's beneath the cross is just a show. It's just a spectacle. They're just waiting for the next act.
Get rid of
it. It's the way the world is.
Away with him, away with him.
But then, lastly today, there is a look beyond. God was looking down the cross, but there are people beneath the cross looking up. But Christ on the cross, he's looking beyond.
Yes,
right.
Amen.
Great song. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind.
Amen.
I heard a preacher one time making fun of that song and saying, imagine a man going through what he's going through and someone so naive to think that God would be thinking about them at that time. That's exactly what the Bible says.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
The Bible says, for the joy that is set before him. He looked down through time.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Amen.
He looked down there on that Sunday morning.
Right.
10-year-old boy is in the pew with his mom and sisters and the little 10-year-old boy lost. He's going to hell. He looked down through time.
Woo!
And he saw me on that day.
Yeah.
Amen.
He was on the cross. I was on his mind. You were on his mind.
Amen.
He was on the cross. He looked out there. He looked down through
Woo!
Time. He looked down to 2016. He looked down to Bethlehem Baptist Church.
Amen.
He looked down to where you're sitting today. He
Yes, that's right.
That's why.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come down from the cross if you're really the Son of God. He really is the Son of God, and that's why he ain't coming down.
That's right.
Amen.
Because he loved us. He loved us. Lord, I thank you today.
Yes.
It's a little glimpse, sir, by Calvin. I'm so thankful, Lord, that that's all over for you. I'm glad you'll never suffer for that again. Lord, when you got done that day, that finished it. And Lord, today there's people here today, and Lord, in a spiritual way, we've all been took back to Calvary today, and we've all been sitting around the cross. And sitting down, we've watched him there through the words of this sermon.
Thank you, Lord.
And some of us, Lord, I know some, their heart has been touched as they're filled with gratitude and reminded of what Jesus done for them because they wept as I preached.
Thank you, Lord.
And I could see it in their eyes, and I could feel it coming from their heart. But others here today, Lord. Lord, today they've just been sitting there watching.
Yes, yes.
But Calvary, the Bible said the preaching of the cross is to them that perish.
That's right.
That's right.
If someone's sitting here today and this is all foolishness to them, it's a direct sign that they're perishing.
Yes.
But to those that believe, it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth.
Yes.
Lord, I pray today there'd be some folks come to Calvary. The song said, though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for me. Help somebody come today, Lord. Help those of us that have already been, that we might wander back again. I'm persuaded in my heart that those disciples went back to Calvary many times and just stood there around the hill. Oh, God. Have your way today in this service. And I've tried to obey the Lord. And I pray the Holy Spirit will work. And I pray Jesus will get the glory and the reward of his suffering today in some way. In Christ's name. Amen and amen. Let's stand today if you would, please. He went up the hill for you. And you come down for him to the altar today.
119.
Well, thank you.
Are you washed in the blood?
up here, Mike Sell, and come up here with her.
Hey.
And you want to come back up here? A lot of prayers, mate.
Yes.
Lord.
Yep.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Bless her heart. Bless her, Lord. Bless her, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
It's all right, folks. It's all right.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Nobody's going to roll in the floor, I don't think. Nobody's going to pull your hair. The Bible said somebody gets saved, they do a lot worse than
that. Oh, yeah. Rejoice in the presence of events. Over one sinner at events.
Glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Brother, let's sing Amazing Grace.
Yes.
If you want to come down and